This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And here we go with another week of Inside Douglas County programs, a lot of political interviews, things like that, and other things to talk about as well from the Douglas Forest Protective Association District Manager Pat Scripp. I understand you have an announcement this afternoon.
Yes, thanks for having us here today, Kyle. Wanted to take this opportunity to introduce to our community our new public information officer, Rachel Pope, and Rachel is in studio with us today.
I thought you were going to announce that you were not running for anything.
Oh, reaffirm, I am not running for anything or have any intentions of running for any office.
Okay, just to make that clear. All right. Rachel, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
So we talked to you in a past life and a past name, and it's been a few years. How do you like it at DFPA so far?
The new name change or with DFPA?
Well, your boss is next to you, so I'll let you decide.
No, I am enjoying being with DFPA. I've been here for about 2 months now, hit the ground running, drinking from a fire hose, learning fire and learning everything that I can about fire, but very proud and humbled to be a part of the DFPA staff and representing our story.
And Pat, so talk about how this position has kind of evolved a bit.
Yeah, so over the years, you know, our community was used to hearing the voice and seeing the face of Kyle Reed, who was our public information officer. And over the years, we're putting more effort into that. We've kind of expanded the prevention program, sort of a three-legged stool in looking at it. But for Rachel, her core responsibilities are, you know, managing the social media and the website, going to be doing some marketing and public outreach for us, you know, giving timely and accurate fire notifications through the social media and to the media, and just a general community outreach and event planner for us. She's going to be helping our other prevention team members message clearly as the season progresses.
So, Rachel, talk a little bit about your background.
Well, with my background, I've been in the development roles for over 15 years. And then I came in with CASA of Douglas County. I was their development administrator for 3 years. So with that, I was able to establish relationships out in the community, gain knowledge of our different demographics and what we're dealing with, and can bring that useful information into DFPA with establishing our messages across the board too, and getting the community involved with fire prevention and fire safety and awareness and stuff like that.
So since you've been there for 2 months already and we haven't started fire season yet, by the time fire season starts, then you'll know everything about all of this, right?
That's the plan, Kyle.
Literally drinking from a fire hose. In our profession, we use a lot of acronyms. So she has cheat sheets and cue cards and trying to work through all those different acronyms in the fire world.
Yeah, you know, every industry, every type of job has its own sort of house speak. You know, if you're a teacher, you know what this means. If you're not, you maybe don't. And that's certainly true with the fire aspect as well. So while you've got this long background doing similar work, it's been in different places. So a whole new learning curve for you.
It's a new learning curve, but I've been in different medical fields where the analytical strategy skills are still there. So it's applying like FDA and OSHA terms and now making it about fire and prevention terms. So the structure is still there. It's just applying the new terminologies and learning the new science of fire. But the foundation is there, and I'm excited to be here and take on this new role and learn this new aspect as well.
And Pat, you mentioned a bit ago three-legged stool. Tell us more about what you're talking about there.
So we've always had just two legs standing up for prevention, really, and that was our industrial fire side and then our general public side. So what we've done is we've added some capacity with a fire and fuels person, Kyle Temple. The community may know him. He's the wrestling coach out at UCC, and he's working on grants and the fuels reduction side of this and the FireWise communities, where we have 32 communities in our district and look to expand that. And then we have our industrial forester who helps with the regulation and inspections on harvest activities and industrial activities like that. And then we kind of bring it back together with Rachel communicating those messages consistently and timely to both those demographics.
And Rachel, you know, as we look at the last year, when you you talk about all these rules, people generally follow them, but there's always issues with either people not understanding them or people hoping to just sort of skate on by and not get noticed. But I mean, you guys work out there and in an enforcement role too.
Correct. We're in an enforcement role. And then that's also another layer that I'm bringing to the industry is being an outsider and being able to communicate the terminology and what is expected of the public on a more layman terms that's more understandable for everybody across the board. So I'm able to hear what Pat's saying, hear what Temple's advising, and then regurgitate it and output it to where it's understandable by everybody. And that's another added flair that I'm hoping to bring to our marketing and education front that we have.
I don't think it's regurgitating. I think it's polishing.
There we go, polishing.
Did we just say regurgitating on the radio?
Three times.
I guess so. Talk about how did we do last year in terms of the number of citations issued?
So, you know, we still struggle with reaching all the demographics of our community. Last year, we issued 88. We had 88 law violations. 70 of those were warning, and that could be burning without a permit or a violation of a public use restriction. But we did issue 18 citations. Kind of a simple breakdown is we had some of those violations. We had 49 burning without permits that people didn't get the clear message that there was restrictions in place. We also had 36 violations of regulated use or public use restrictions. That might be smoking outside of an enclosed vehicle or driving on an unimproved road. Those may be a campfire in restricted times. And then we had, you know, a couple that failure to prevent fire spread, where they accidentally started a fire but really took no action to contain it. And all those 18 are elevated to a citation and to the court system where there's fines imposed.
Now, every year we look at, you know, we kind of look back at the fire season after it's done. How did we pan out last year for the number of fires?
Well, we were above our average. We had, I think, 139 fires. And there's a couple categories that really are notable. One is the equipment use. It's sort of a catch-all. Power lines are in there, but a lot of those are activities like mowing, or equipment failure. It could be electrical equipment failure or losing a bearing out of a wheel on a trailer. The other one is escape debris burns. You know, 20 of those were outside of fire season. Most of those were in the spring, and so that's where we're trying to clearly message right now is don't let your guard down. There's green out there, but there's always an opportunity on a windy day. It could get in last year's thatch or into some heavier fuels. We see fire spread through April and May. More of a nuisance, but they take a lot of energy and resources at this time of year. And then we also had seven people burning that during fire season that escaped and, you know, where permits were not issued. And we struggle to communicate to all demographics. You know, some reach for their social media. Others still are looking for their traditional signboard. We're looking for new ideas, and Rachel's going to help us out with that, whether it's mailing or some sort of connection through new social media tools out there that we're not accustomed to.
Well, and when you have these escaped debris burns, too, first of all, the people that are responsible for them may be footing the bill.
Yeah, so Oregon law is pretty clear is if they're willful, malicious, or negligent that we need to recover cost. To us and the forester. And so some of these can get real expensive. I would say most of them, people aren't able to pay out of pocket and they get turned over to insurance. And the Department of Forestry helps us in demand letters and collection of those violations.
And I remember, I think it was 2015 maybe, we had one of the biggest fires of the year was because somebody was out mowing grass when they shouldn't have been.
Yes, that was a clear violation of our public use restriction where we limit the time of the day the activities could occur depending on the fire danger, and that was Stouts Creek. And that was a very expensive fire to the state of Oregon and to the landowners. No recovery options, you know, to be reimbursed.
We're going to take a break at Inside Douglas County, look towards fire season, and talk about DFPA's anniversary and more when we come back. The interview, a podcast at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's program. We'll talk about the bond levy proposal for Roseburg Public Schools. Alex Palm and Joe Garcia will be in on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Pat Scripp and Rachel Pope in here this afternoon from DFPA talking about aspects of all the fire season talk that's beginning to be out there. Before we get into talking about fire season, though, you guys have a little birthday coming up.
Yeah, so on May 6th, DFPA turns 110 years old, and that's really a testament to, you know, one of our core values is that we embrace that the best solutions come local, and the landowners always have a voice and seat at the table.
So let's look ahead to fire season. What are we expecting?
So, you know, we're looking at the beginning of May, the National Weather Service and Predictive Services will come out with their new report. But we're seeing drought is persistent in Oregon, Central Oregon in particular. And you ask why I mentioned that. Central and Eastern Oregon, when they have fires on landscape, that's a direct impact to us. As we send resources over to help, it's a drawdown of national resources. And it turns into a long, long year for us. For Douglas County, you know, we've gotten some relief in the last couple weeks. We've seen a change in the weather and those systems coming in. That is closing the deficit of the rainfall that we were minus. But unfortunately, you know, we look at precip duration over amount. And there's probably not enough time to close that deficit as we move into fire season. The snow equivalent pack is down across the state. And this, although this late spring snows are nice to see, they don't stick around very long once that sun comes out. So we're looking at a normal to above normal conditions going into this year, as those larger fuels need a lot of time to soak up that moisture. So I'd say right now we're watering things, going to watch those fine fuels of grass and shrubs grow. But in the end, it's those heavy fuels. When they're short of moisture, fires are more resistant to control and become more extreme easy.
And unlike a lot of other things in life, fire season doesn't come with a definite start and end date. Explain how that works.
So we track those fuel conditions, and not just how much moisture they're holding, but when they start to cure out. And so we'll turn fire season on sometimes, you know, early June, even as early as mid-May. And it really is based on, you know, are we seeing folks having control problems with some of those debris burns that we're asking them to be so careful with and get a trail on and mop up. If we go into season early, it's to address those debris burns that are getting away, where we'd issue permits early in the season as it starts to cure out, probably curtail that until the fall conditions, you know, come in.
And this year, you know, the water lately, I mean, I think last week or so when it was raining a lot of people thought, okay, we're gonna be in a lot better shape. And so while it sounds like we're going to be in better shape, not as good a shape as you would like to be.
Correct. You know, so, you know, we're at about a 20-inch rainfall so far in the water year, in which we average about 27, almost 28 inches for this time of year. So we're still trying to make up that deficit. The reservoirs really tell the story, how low they are. Fan base visited, you know, like Galesville. It's just amazing. And there's not a lot of snowpack and runoff to fill those. So stream flows are a direct correlation to what we're seeing in those large fuels.
And you mentioned the May forecast. Is there a particular date that information comes out, or does that float a bit as well?
So beginning of each month, the Predictive Services issues a forecast for their geographical area, which is Oregon, Northwest. And the April one was dismal, with Central Oregon already going into drought. And, you know, if they turned the season on back then, it would have already been in a high to extreme condition for their heavy fuels. We're in a much better place, but again, we just don't have the time to close the window in that rain deficit to affect the fuels.
Now, for DFPA, you've got staff that are working for you throughout the year, but you pull on firefighters and others in the season and get them trained and ready to roll before. How's that looking this year?
So I'm going to let Rachel take that one. She's been helping us with the recruitment side.
Yes. So actually, the number of seasonal firefighters that we have that are out there applying is low, lower than historical, but is also in comparison to other industries that are out there that are facing the same labor shortages. And we've seen that post-COVID. But so we're out here recruiting, and DFPA is hiring right now. And we have open availability not only for seasonal hand and engine crews, but we're looking for administrative positions in dispatch and camera detection as well.
So for the numbers, how many people do you tend to add during fire season?
So we have only about 20 full-time employees that are on the protection budget, but we have 105 when we get to about 100 seasonals. And that fluctuates depending on funding available. But through what we call a co-op work program and some grant dollars, we've been able to retain that fire line leadership, you know, those wardens or forest officers that lead those seasonal crews and day-to-day activities, have fire experience. We were able to retain about 60 of those folks. So we're down about 30 seasonal workers. It would be in the norm for us to have that rotation, as a lot of young college folks are seeking their career in secondary education or whatever. But this year, just the number of sheer applicants is down. So we invite our community to share that word. Great employment opportunities for both college folks and for that could move into full time.
Yeah, for somebody, and is there an age range too that you look at?
So they have to be over 18 years of age, and that's a labor law. They classify firefighting as hazardous occupation, so they have to be an adult to work for us.
And I imagine, like a lot of other industries, you've probably also had more people retire.
Yeah, we had a retirement last year. Rick Harvey, our central unit forester, he retired after 44 years of employment with DFPA. And so we've had quite a bit of internal movement in the core team and management team at DFPA.
Wow, a lot of things going on. About a minute and a half left on Inside Douglas County. As we look towards fire season, talk about, you know, the public's role in helping you guys do what you do.
So, you know, we want to take this opportunity just to reach out and ask everybody to be very mindful as they begin their or finish up their spring cleaning. Be thinking about what you could do to make that that fire less intense. That's fuels reduction. It doesn't mean carving out a parking lot or anything like that around your home in the rural area, but mowing the grass low. The other one is equipment maintenance. As you pull out those mowers, make sure that everything is in good repair, or you're putting the boat together to go to the lake. We see every year in Oregon wheel bearings going out on boat trailers. Do the preventative maintenance. That's back to one of those things we talk about, is education, engineering, and that's engineering is good maintenance on the equipment you're operating. And check with us at whether a phone call or check our social media, see what the fire restrictions are in place. And if you need, you're planning on doing some burning, we're happy to come out and do a courtesy inspection. Make sure trails are there and make sure you don't get in any kind of trouble.
News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, 12:57, out of time.
Issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.